This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm speaking with Anna Kaufman with the San Francisco Surfrider Chapter. Anna, tell us a little bit about the Surfrider organization and what it does for our oceans.
The Surfrider Foundation is made up of a nation of advocates and activists that are trying to protect the access and the health of our ocean, our beaches, our rivers, everything that's connected to the enjoyment of the beaches, waves, and oceans. There's 81 chapters, and there's a lot of student chapters as well. It's always growing, and it's nationwide, including all the oceans and beaches and the Great Lakes as well.
There's going to be something special happening in September. Can you tell us about that?
The California Coastal Commission is known mostly for the California Cleanup Day in September. And because of COVID this year, they aren't able to have just one specific day. So they're spreading it out throughout the month of September and encouraging individuals and families and people in your pod to socially distance and safely do their own cleanups, either whether it be in their own neighborhoods or at their local river or shoreline or any place that you are, is to just go out and safely clean up, socially distance, of course, wear your mask, wear gloves, bring a picker, and then use the CleanSwell app to post what you've collected so that the entire month of September is used for collecting data that will be shared later in October.
I understand that your organization is involved all year round. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Surfrider Foundation is probably best known for doing the cleanups. And in the San Francisco chapter, pre-COVID, we were doing 4 organized cleanups a month. The idea of the beach cleanups really is to raise awareness with individuals and families and corporations so that they see that their single-use items that they're using on land affect what's going into our waterways. And once you participate in the cleanups, you'll see the amount of single-use items, whether it be plastic water bottles or plastic forks, knives, spoons, coffee lids, straws, all those things, they all float. They end up in our gutters. They go into the storm drains, and ultimately they find their way to the oceans and beaches.
Let's talk about straws for a moment. What can an individual or a yacht club or an organization do to help straws not end up damaging animals in our marine world?
Straws is sort of the gateway to all this plastic pollution. It's this thing that people could relate to the most, something that is so unnecessary in so many different ways. I mean, ultimately, we could go to a more environmentally friendly straw, like a paper straw, or just do without.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. It's our first hour on a Tuesday. This is when we do SailsportTalk.com, and we have a guest, but first let's say hello to our co-host also in the East Bay, Karen Lyle. How are you, Karen?
You know, I'm doing fantastic, Rick. I'm so grateful for a boat and to go sailing during these pandemic times.
No doubt about it. Now, let's bring on our guest, Johannes Nordemar, who is calling us. Are you in Stockholm, Sverige right now, Johannes?
Yes, actually, I'm in Stockholm, yes. I've been out sailing this summer, but now I'm home again, like the rest of us.
No doubt. Now, davits are something that, of course, can lower a boat into the water. It's kind of like a little bit of a winch, and you have something called dinghy rings, which Karen has tried. First of all, Johannes, describe to us what it is about this new pivotal vertical davit system that you have.
Actually, if I can just tell you some background story, I have 3 kids, and I've always had a hassle to store the dinghy somewhere on the boat. And then a couple of years ago, I came up with a solution to do this in an easy way so that you can just reverse your dinghy into 2 rotating rings and then pull to just fold the dinghy up by hand and get rid of it in a very fast and easy way. So That's my thing. And nowadays they call it the Swedish way. It's very common here in Sweden on the west, on the east coast.
You know, Johannes, it's just such a delight to talk to you. I had the opportunity of trying out your dinghy rings in the San Francisco Bay on my boat, and I agree with you that it makes it so much easier. You just recently went on a trip around around Sweden. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, that was actually a very fantastic journey because we had a small sailing boat that we sold 4 years ago because the boat got smaller or the children got bigger. I haven't decided yet, but I think it was because the children grow. And then with Corona and everything, we decided it was time to go out on the sea again. So we traveled across Sweden to the west coast. We live on the east coast and bought an old Hallberg Rassi boat, a sailing yacht, 35 feet, that we prepared for a couple of weeks and then sailed around Sweden. So that was quite a journey for our family with three kids between 5 and 11 years old.
So when you go on these little trips, do you go in the Baltic to, like, Gotland, or do you go over to, you know, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania? Do you go up to Finland? Do you go down to Denmark? What do you do?
We started on the west coast, and that's on the Swedish west coast. It's just right below Norway. And then, on the outside we have Denmark and England, a little more far away. So we traveled south and then rounded Sweden and up on the east coast. And there we have like Gotland and Öland and those islands. But Sweden actually has very, very many small islands, like archipelagos all around the coast. So it's very... challenging and very beautiful to sail on the coast, but you also have to be very aware that you don't end up on one of those small islands. So you need to keep an eye on the plotter or the GPS all the time.
What are the weather conditions? I mean, when are you out in the exposed, out in the ocean, dealing with swells as well as wind waves, and are the wind directions? Do they shift a lot, or are they fairly steady in a particular direction?
Yeah. The wind usually comes from the south. So when we sail down south from the west coast, we had the wind in front of us. But then when we rounded the south of Sweden, then we had the wind in the back all the way up to where we live in Stockholm. So the second half of the journey was more pleasant, so to say. Winds in about maybe around 10 to 30 knots, I would say. We don't sail in more heavy winds than that because then we try to find a harbor somewhere to stay for a couple of days.
Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with Johannes Nordemar in Sweden. Johannes, my grandfather was from Denmark, and I've been to Denmark many times, and I always like the little rivalry that Scandinavians have. It's like as a group, you sort of feel like brothers, but then when you go head-to-head, like when you cross over from Copenhagen into Malmö or Lund, I've always been told that the Swedes think that Denmark is a wonderful little country, but that the Danes don't like the Swedes. Is that kind of overblown?
I think, the south part of Sweden belonged to Denmark long time ago. So it's still, we have this bridge from south of Sweden to Denmark. So we are very well connected, and We like the Danish people very much these days, actually.
Well, you know, usually I'm usually sailing in the British Virgin Islands at this every summer, except for during the pandemic, and that's where I first started using dinghies because they have so many little islands, and you know, you can basically just hook a mooring ball or drop your anchor, and then you know, put the dinghy down and go exploring on the shore or around the little shallow areas. So in your situation, are you oftentimes anchoring and then using the dinghy rings to put the dinghy down in the water and taking your kids out to explore?
Sometimes it's better to anchor like that. But also, because we have all those small islands, if you put your yacht on one island, then you can go visit all the other islands that are also around. And also to keep the kids happy, you almost need to have a dinghy because they also want to go on their own small adventures. But Karen, can I ask you a question? I'm very curious because you tried these dinghy rings. What did you think about it? Was it easy to use?
Well, I'm going to just describe this a little bit for the listener since we don't have a picture in front of us. But if listeners wanted to go and look online for the biography for Johannes, you'll see a picture of the dinghy rings on a boat. But basically, what a dinghy is for those who are new to sailing is that it is a small boat, and I have a foldable, inflatable rib, so it is basically a 9-foot boat, and then you can row with it or put a small outboard motor on it. And when you are traveling with the large boat and you have the small boat, you have this difficulty of where to put it. And, you know, you can fold it up and put it on the top of the deck, or you can inflate it and put it there, but sometimes it blocks the visibility. And what these dinghy rings are is it's a way of attaching, you put the little pontoons inside the rings, and then you can just pull it up with a line and then tie it off on the boat so that it's on the back of the boat. And when small boats that don't have, like, these, you know, very complicated davit systems to get the boat down in the water, you know, this is often a problem. So I became very intrigued, Johannes, with your invention. And when we tried it out here, I found that when, you know, our winds usually in the summer are between 15 to 25 knots. And so in those higher winds, and the journey that I went out, I think it varied from about 5 to 25 knots in a period of about maybe 5 or 6 hours out there sailing. And so I found that I just had to adjust the different angles of the dinghy based on the wind. When the wind was really high, I needed to pull it in really tight. And when it was, you know, lower, I could just, you know, let it sit back at a 45-degree angle, you know, more casually just sailing along. But I really liked it. I mean, I found that it worked well and that it was a great invention. It just made it so much simpler to deploy the dinghy and get out there. That's one of the reasons. I was so intrigued that you're 42 years old and you've already invented something. And, you know, you spent, the last 15 or 10 years writing about boats and for a magazine. What kind of things were you writing about?
Yeah, it's you can translate the name of the magazine like Practical Boat Owner. So we write for boat owners that do most of the jobs on their boats by themselves. So it can be installing accessories or gadgets and restoring almost everything, engines, decks. So I write those kind of articles for this Swedish boat magazine.
Last question.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, and it's really fun, actually, to I like to do things myself and to try to fix things. It's often possible to not to just replace. You can almost always do some kind of fix to reduce your old gear.
So for more information about your dinghy rings, where should we go on the internet, Johannes?
Yeah, if you would like more information, you can visit www.dinghyrings.com, and then you will
find
pictures.
Yeah, that's easy enough. We have been speaking with Johannes Nordemar from Sweden out there in Stockholm, the capital. Johannes, thanks for your time, and congratulations on your invention.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Johannes.
Talking to you.
And Karen, before we let you go, have you ever invented anything nautical?
You know, I haven't invented things nautical, but I have invented things technical for computers and so forth. So I am actually in the process of a patent.
I have one thing I did not.
You did?
Yeah, the inboard motor.
Tell me about that.
That was a long time ago. Karen, thanks for your time, as always, and we'll do it again.
Okay, we'll have to talk.
All right, we'll wrap up a wild first hour here. Come on back.